Bloomberg News, on demand.
You're a small business person, so you're the buyer, the seller, the bean counter, the chief cook, and the bottle washer. You know your best new business comes from your current customers. But what's the best way to reach them? ConstantContact.com, the easy, effective email marketing service. Constant Contact gives you professional online newsletters fast without any technical skills. Plus, there's a free 60-day trial and plans slow as $15 a month. ConstantContact.com, the smart way to build your business.
Bloomberg on the Economy with Tom Keene. Wednesday, December 9th, 2009.
Gikas Ardouvalis, chief group economist at Eurobank EFG, Greece faces fiscal crisis. The test tube for sovereign financial workout is Athens. Also, Ardouvalis on why Peoria should care about Corfu. You wrote in May of 2009 about the pending fiscal crisis. Why are we so surprised by this change in the debt rating of Greece?
Actually, yes, I was one of the first people to actually worry about this problem. And I had a series of speeches on it. But when things are nice and everything is fine, nobody pays attention to that. The markets all of a sudden picked up on Greece. We had a change of government, of course, and when you have a change of government, then the true fiscal situation comes out. And this is what happened. The Greeks voted a new government in early October, and they had to submit their deficit numbers for 2008 and 2009 in late October, and they did it. And they gave a different picture from what more or less everybody expected.
When you look at this, and just to open up the show, let us cut to the punchline or the chase, if you will. There's something about a behavioral construct to solve massive fiscal crisis. Are the Greek people up to this? Do you expect to see the bold actions you write about?
I think they are up to it. I think the population is a lot more mature than our politicians. The politicians are used to play the usual political game, which is always to pander to their friends and always say the positive things and kind of hide the negatives. And I think now the population has understood what is happening, and they're waiting, they're ready for changes. Mind you, the recession, this global recession, affected Greece with a lag. We were not affected back in 2007. We really felt it in 2008. And now I think it's a point where people begin to understand what's going on.
Gikas, let's focus now on the actual crisis and the view forward for the Greek government. They've jumped, particularly off of your good work a year ago, to deficit to GDP that is, I'm going to suggest, on the edge of Japan. They go to 135% debt to GDP, oh, a year out or so. How do you immediately stop that? Is it a question of legislation? Is it a question of bringing in more tax receipts?
Well, let me say that 135% of GDP is a bit exaggerated. I mean, we expect for 2010 to end the year with about 123% of GDP. The problem right now is that the economy has stalled, and when you have an economy that's not growing, then the numerator, which is the deficit, keeps adding to the debt. And you're right when you talk about the Japanese type of a problem. This is what had happened to Japan in the 1990s. And I think the Greek government is very aware of what's going on, and they have deposited a budget to the parliament that's trying to compromise between two different directions. One is to sort of control expenses and increase revenues, increase taxes, and the other is to make sure you don't push the economy into a bigger recession. And how do you do that? Well, they have cut primary expenditure, but they have increased investment expenditure. And they have tried to cut at the sort of soft items that do not hurt. They have also tried to give money to the poor whose marginal propensity to consume is high. So they hope that the money they have given out will have a multiplier effect, whereas the money they have cut is not going to have a multiplier effect.
Well, go continue, please, please.
So the idea is to not overdo it. The budget tightening should be there, but shouldn't be as drastic in order not to cause a bigger recession. And as you know, if you have a bigger recession, then nobody can pay. And then you have more expenses because you have an increase in unemployment. So it's a fine balance between these two objectives, which are contradictory.
And if we look at the denominator and the Hardouvilis prescription, which is to increase exports structurally for Greece, just to become more of an export power, how critical is, say, the German economy to the new government of Greece?
When it comes to the external sector, you know, Greece is actually a very closed economy, and this is actually one of the reasons why the global recession hit us late. You know, our exports to GDP is a maximum 25% of GDP. It's almost like a version of the U.S., except the U.S. is a bigger economy. Greeks sort of buy and sell to each other. They do not sort of mingle with the rest of Europe. They have expanded, especially with Germany, since you asked. We tend to import a lot more than we export to Germany. With other countries, actually, we also receive many German tourists, and we receive British tourists and other Europeans. Tourism is definitely a sector that was affected in 2009, and we expect it to get better in 2010 as the European incomes rise. Also, Greeks are ship owners. They actually control a third of the shipping worldwide, and the crisis, as you know, affected international trade a lot, and it affected the value of ships and the value of the commissions you get when you carry goods and goods. And the ship owners were affected. We hope that they're going to recoup in 2010. Things will get better.
When we look at this, explain to us the institutional structure at the federal level. We perceive China as having a monetary authority that is really part of the federal government. How independent is the Greek central bank?
The Greek central bank is part of the European system of central banks. We have no authority over monetary policy. We are locked to the euro. Decisions are made in Frankfurt about the level of interest rates, the amount of liquidity that will be given to banks. So Greeks are locked into the common currency, a single currency area. They do not have control on monetary policy or exchange rate policy, for that matter. And actually, this was good, because in the past, the country lacked discipline. The fact that you gave monetary policy away to a pan-European institution like the European Central Bank meant that you avoided the political business cycle. You avoided the pressure that politicians tend to impose on the central bank to actually create money before elections and inflate the economy. So that was good. The bad thing is that Greece in the last 7-8 years, they haven't managed to be competitive. The rate of inflation is slightly higher than the Eurozone, which means their products and services are getting more and more expensive relative to the European
ones. Well, this is a fascinating experiment, folks. And would you suggest, Professor Hardouvilis, that this is the first real test of the European Union, where your monetary, you know, if you look at the trilemma, the monetary theory is coming out of Frankfurt. Okay, great. Which means you have only a fiscal solution, only a budget solution, and also only an economic solution. Is that right?
And also structural reforms. You should sort of fix the rules of the game and make the country more productive. It's not only the government that matters, it's the private sector that matters a lot. And you have to make the life of the businessman easier. You have to be able to attract foreign investment. You have to, when you want to start a business, you shouldn't wait a year, you should wait 5 days. Delivery of justice should be minimized, the time. A lot of things can happen. Structural reforms is something actually we lagged behind during these years, and now we have to do them in a period of global recession and in a period when the Greek growth rate is low.
Okay, so a solution to this, and I think I'm seeing this in the research notes, folks, across the international Wall Street, your new prime minister, I hope I'm getting this right, George Papandreou, he dials 1-800-TRICHET or maybe 1-800-BRUSSELS and says, look, we need help. What will be the help that Frankfurt will project to Greece?
I think at this stage the help that Frankfurt will give to Greece is a disciplinary one. You know, there are rules in the European Union that if you run, if you have deficits that are higher than you agreed to run, then you have to sort of follow what the consensus is about your deficits for the following year. And in January, for example, Greece will submit a three-year plan according to the Stability and Growth Pact, and so are the other countries that are members of the Eurozone. So that plan has to be credible. It has to balance out the tightening that we said before and growth. It has to have a forecast of Greek growth rate that's realistic, that everybody agrees on.
Well,
a reduction in the budget deficit that's also realistic.
Gikas, I remember in high school sitting in the theater stunned at the movie Z. We Americans, and I think I can speak for so many that listen around the world, we have our stereotypes of Greece. What do we most get wrong when we think of Athens, when we think of the nation Greece?
Well, the movie Z was about the time of our fathers and grandfathers. It was a different Greece. Now I think Greece is like any other European country. The standard of living has really improved. We have more or less converged to the European average. The Greek is quite open-minded. You come here, you walk in the streets, you see all kinds of expensive cars being driven. You watch the stores, you see the clothes they sell, you think you're in New York City sometimes. So Greeks travel to the U.S., travel all over the place. They are members of the international community. They carry the same culture. They have the same values that you have in New York City.
Well, when we look at this, and folks, I'm looking at inflation-adjusted GDP per capita for the nation of Greece, and there was the miracle of the 60s and then a real lethargy through the 70s and 80s. What happened about 1996?
What happened in 1996, and this must be said, I think Greeks realized they better get their act together and fix their fiscal house. They better put a lid on the deficits, bring down inflation, because they wanted desperately to become members of the euro area, members of the eurozone. And they did it. They actually got their act together, and they did it. And in fact, after they did that, they even carried the Olympic Games. That was the biggest project that this country ever had, because it required deep organization at every level. And if anything, if you're going to accuse Greeks of anything, it's lack of organization. This is what they suffer from.
When you say lack of organization, let's bring it back to the present crisis. We have a new government, a big win for a more left-leaning government. What do you expect to see from them? Do they move center, or do they move and tilt to the left given this crisis?
I think they're going to balance out both factors. They're going to try to distribute a little bit of income to the underprivileged. And as I said before, social policy, like giving money to the poor, is actually the right thing, because it's also an economic policy, because the poor are going to consume the extra income they will be given. They're not going to stash it away. They're not going to send their money to, money laundered someplace outside Greece. So that's good. So they're going to pay attention to the distributional issues and to the poor. But at the same time, I believe, because they are socialists, they're going to take the tough decisions that the conservatives were afraid to take.
Yeah, let's come.
In other words, make sure that the budgets are balanced, make sure that the economy becomes more competitive.
Gikas, on the break, you and I were talking, and you said, wait, Tom, this is not a crisis. Come on, I saw the two-year bond. It went 5 standard deviations minimum off where it was a week ago. How can this not be a crisis?
Okay, Tom, you and I know very well that markets tend to overreact. I think they have overreacted. When things calm down, when the market realizes the long-term plan of this government, I think they'll feel better. And spreads are going to come down. Right now, spreads are up more than 2 percentage points above the German ones. And of course, we saw worse ones during in February and March when everything was in disarray. You remember then we were all afraid the financial system, the global financial system, was going to collapse. Well, we're not reliving that horror today. I mean, we had a Fitch downgrading Greece, but this is what happened in the last week, and the markets, I think, they tend to behave like crowds. Mm-hmm. They want to close their books for the year, so they'd rather sell, get their gains, and do it before somebody sells.
Right.
And so potential buyers, I expect the buyers to come back on January 2nd.
What should be the response of the International Monetary Fund to this fiscal distress in Greece?
Well, I think it will be the same response like the European one. You know, the IMF actually is quite lenient in the past year and a half, a lot more lenient than the European Union is on emerging countries. I mean, we've seen that. They're very lenient on Romania, on Serbia. They're giving out cash all over. They were given the cash by the G20 to do that. The IMF, I think, is out of the picture when it comes to Greece, because Greece is a member of the European Union and a member of the euro area. And there are tough rules within the euro area, so the IMF doesn't need to approach Greece at this stage. But they do have an advising role. Yes, nobody discounts the advising role.
When you look at this and the relationship of Turkey, the previous government really worked to smooth things out between Greece and Turkey. Do you see the relationship between the two nations continuing to improve?
I think so, Tom. I mean, there are many deals across the border between Greece and Turkey. I think the populations feel the same way about each other. Greeks, as you know, for a long time now, have stopped vetoing Turkey's entrance into the European Union. And this has led to an improvement in the relationships. I think Greeks would like to have Turkey in the European Union. It's always nice to have a neighbor whose values are like yours, whose people think the same way as you do, whose aspirations are the same as yours, who are European like you are.
Professor Ardouvalos, if we can bring it to more international economics and, of course, your academic work over the years, let's start out simple. I want to go back to one of your courses, Barnard BC 1001. Introductory macroeconomics. This was a few years ago when you were teaching up at Morningside Heights. What do you tell a freshman class about an economy that can't control its money, that its currency tools not there? I mean, the Europeans are really writing a new chapter in international economics and interdependency, aren't they?
Of course. What I tell them is that all they have left is the fiscal policy and structural reforms. They have to have better politicians. You know, when you teach macro, you tell the students that the tool for counter-cyclical policy is monetary policy, and we all know that. And that Greece has given it away. It has given it away, but in return, it has received the credibility of the euro, of the common currency, and the credibility of a stable rate of inflation, the credibility that politicians are not going to trick the public and keep printing money before the election.
Well, they can't.
And that's a lot. That's a lot. That means macroeconomic stability is a prerequisite for growth. So you've got the fundamental prerequisite here. Whether you're going to grow in the long term, then it's up to the politicians to do the right job, to do the structural reforms, to make the country competitive, to get the deals with the other countries, to be able to sell to the other countries, to make sure that there is justice within the country and there is equal distribution of income. All the other things is up to us.
I see, a paper here. This is Ardouvalos with, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Illidou, March of 1997, the predictive power of the term structure of interest rates. Part of the predictive power of term structure are the credit rating agencies. If there's there's four components, folks, within the term structure. We're not going to get too Fabozzi here, but, you know, if it's a little complex as you look at the bond market, part of that is the credit quality. With Fitch stepping up in Greece and with Standard & Poor's this morning stepping up in Spain, are the credit rating agencies finally becoming the tool that will affect a change and a break on these burgeoning debts?
I think the credit rating agencies have a role to play. As you know, because they were accused of overestimating the credit worthiness of subprime, they are now a lot more conservative when it comes to country ratings as well. So the downgrades that you observe on European countries and Greece in particular is also within that spirit, the spirit of being conservative and make sure that you don't make a mistake on the downside. I don't perceive, on the other hand, that this downgrade is a predictor of what will happen to growth. When I did that paper you mentioned, actually, we were the first with Arturo Estrella at the Fed to have the first paper on the term structure and real economic activity back in the late 80s. But that was without a credit spread in the term structure because we were looking at government U.S. government bonds.
Continue, please, Professor.
So looking at the behavior of the credit rating agencies, to me, as an independent economist, it's something nice. It's sort of a wake-up call for the Greek government to do the right thing, which is to tighten its budget. This is what these guys are saying.
Okay, so let's carry this.
So we shouldn't overreact.
Is the government...
The markets already did react. As I said before, I expect the things to calm down. And the critical event is the three-year plan for Greece that will be submitted to the European Union in January.
May I suggest that the economic leadership and political leadership of Italy is saying, please, please, please lower our rating or go on negative watch so we can begin this workout as well?
Actually, there's a big difference between small countries and large countries in the European Union. And, the way politics works, it's the large countries that carry most of the weight within the European Union, and it's very hard to discipline them. When it comes to a small country, it's easier to discipline. So the pressure from the European Union, mm-hmm. from the rating agencies, from the markets that keep buying the Greek bonds at a cheap price will have an effect on Greece. It may not have an effect on Italy or on France or a big country.
You have a chart, folks. I want to completely change gears, talk about rip up the script. Professor, this is in your wheelhouse of academic research. Will the expanding financial industry suffer? And folks, this is a fabulous chart which shows full-time equivalent employees in finance and industry. This is from the Bureau of Economic Analysis. And to be polite, Professor, there was a boom from, I'm going to say, 1946 to about 1988. And then, granted, there's been productivity and understand that, I understand. But is the party over for the financial sector that you've done so much research on?
My sense, Tom, is that the party is indeed over. If you look at those graphs, employment did not really increase much since the mid-1980s in the financial sector. However, payment, the value added was a lot higher, which means productivity was a lot higher. But everybody now is questioning whether this was a good real productivity or whether the financial innovation went in the wrong direction. I think, at least in Europe, I'm not sure about this so much about the U.S., but in general, I think there's going to be a lot more regulation on the financial sector, which means financial intermediation will be more costly. More costly means to me higher real interest rates and lower investment. My projection for the future, for the world growth, is that we're going to see lower growth rates in the next 5 to 10 years because real interest rates will be higher. And one reason is the cost of financial intermediation. Another reason is that risk is going to be priced more rationally. Risk premiums are going to be larger. A third reason is that a lot of the countries have increased their indebtedness. Look at the U.S. The debt-to-GDP ratio is going up to over 90% in 2010.
Could our credit...
It used to be 60% 2-3 years
ago. Well, if 60%
is... European Union, the same thing. So a lot of interest rates will be going up because the governments will be out there trying to compete for the same amount of savings with the private sector. So in general, real rates are going to be going up, and that's bad. And then, of course, you in the next 4 or 5 years, you're going to see restrictive fiscal policy because you have to generate the surpluses to pay back for that debt. And I think, Tom, that we're not going to see the global imbalances we saw 10 years ago. I think the American consumer will start saving a little bit more and consuming less. The gap that the American consumer leaves in the world means it cannot be covered by the Chinese consumer or the Indian consumer or the European consumer. So there's going to be a lack of aggregate demand in the world. Countries are not going to be able to export as much. So my view is we're moving towards an era of a more stable system, stable financially and stable economically, but lower growth.
Professor, if I leave Athens and the stereotype that all of America has about the cacophony, you mentioned earlier the disorganization of the Greek economy, and if you go out to where the tourists go, whether you go northwest to Corfu or off to the east, what is the disconnect between dominant urban Athens and those other territories of Greece right now?
The big difference between the U.S., I guess, and Greece is that if you live in Athens, within an hour and a half, you can go to an island and swim. You can go to a mountaintop and do skiing, and you can completely disengage from your daily routine. It's a lot easier and more cheap to have a short vacation in Greece. And people do that. They do that a lot. In some sense, the quality of life, which is never reflected in the GDP statistics, perhaps is a little bit better. And I think families are closer because it's a smaller economy. It's 11 million people. Everybody knows each other. So you get the plus and the minuses of that. You don't have a big market. Therefore, you cannot grow as fast as in the U.S. You have an idea and it immediately gets copied by everybody else. So innovation suffers. On the other hand, you get the support of the family structure. You don't see poor people in the streets. The families take care of their own, although the health system is in a disarray.
I'm looking at a map here of northern Greece, Kozani, K-O-Z-A-N-I. It's up by this big, long lake in Greece. What do they think about this crisis? Are they saying this is all about Athens?
I mean, what is the dialogue? Last summer when I took my summer vacation and I used to go out and eat, a lot of shop owners used to tell me, "What crisis? I mean, I keep hearing on TV about a crisis. Come on, my business is higher this year." You know, nobody believed there is a crisis. But I think the people that have felt the crisis so far are the people that work in the underground economy. Like, if you're a piano teacher and you give private lessons and you never pay taxes, you get cash, the demand for your services has come down a lot. If you're a French teacher, I'm not going to say English teacher because English is in high demand all the time. But there are some other languages that are not as in high demand.
Professor,
then you feel the punch. You feel the pinch.
Just because we have 30 seconds left, the most important question of the entire show. If you were to go to one Greek island, which one would you recommend?
I would recommend every island.
You're an economist.
They're different. I think Santorini is very different because it's volcanic. The islands of the western part of Greece are very green, and the rest are very rocky. Each island actually has its own character, so you can spend your lifetime in Greece and never be
bored.
Well,
let's leave it there. Gikas Hardouvelas, Chief Group Economist, Eurobank EFG. What a wonderful hour on the challenges of the Greek economy.
There's more television and radio news at Bloomberg.com. Stream it live. Download it to your iPod or desktop. Copyright Bloomberg LP 2009.